The aim of this series of presentations is to open our minds and hearts to what Paul has to say in his first letter to Timothy. This presentation is to introduce the letter. We first hear of Timothy when, after the Jerusalem assembly, Paul and Silas return to southern Galatia. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul went on to Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. His father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, but he took him and had him circumcised because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So there's a map of Galatia, and that's Lystra, where Timothy lived. Now, Timothy accompanied Paul to Troas and then across to Macedonia, to Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And when the situation became too dangerous in Macedonia, Paul was sent off to Athens, where he stayed briefly and then went on to Corinth. Timothy and Silas stayed behind in Macedonia, but then when they came and joined Paul in Corinth, Paul wrote from there his letters to Thessalonica, which include a greeting from Timothy. Having been 18 months in Corinth, Paul then moved to Ephesus, where he was for 3 years, between 52 and 55 AD, Paul himself in his early 50s. Timothy was with Paul there. In a letter written to Corinth from Ephesus, Paul writes, "I sent you Timothy, who's my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ Jesus, as I teach them everywhere in every church." And later in the same letter, to the first letter to Corinth, Paul says, "If Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear among you, for he's doing the work of the Lord just as I am." From Ephesus, Paul also wrote to the Colossians, and he opens the letter, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in the Messiah in Colossae." Timothy is also mentioned in a personal letter to Philemon, a member of the community in Colossae. And the letter opens, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker." When Paul discerned that it was nearing time to leave Ephesus, we're told in Acts chapter 19, verse 22 by Luke, he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he himself stayed for some time longer in Asia. It was from Macedonia that Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. The letter opens with the words, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia." Timothy was with Paul in Corinth in the winter of 56 to 57 when Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. which includes the words, "Timothy, my co-worker, greets you." Paul went from Corinth to Jerusalem. His enemies tried to kill him there. He spent 2 years under house arrest in Caesarea and then claimed his right as a Roman citizen to be judged by the emperor. He was taken by ship to Rome, where he spent 2 more years under house arrest awaiting trial. The last words of the Acts of the Apostles read, "Paul lived in Rome 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, with all boldness and without hindrance." It's most probably from Rome in those 2 years of house arrest that Paul wrote to the community in Philippi. The opening words are, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus." And he goes on to write, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you." So it's clear from Paul's letters and the Acts of the Apostles that Timothy was a constant companion of Paul right through, in fact, to his death. So here we have a letter entitled Paul's First Letter to Timothy. However, there's argument about the author, so let's look at that now. The author of this letter introduces himself as Paul, and there's no evidence from the early church, or indeed from the first 1800 years of the church's life, of any dispute about the identity of the author. However, modern critical scholarship has brought us to the situation today in which most scholars either argue or assume that someone other than Paul composed this letter and composed it in Paul's name. And they have the same opinion about the author of the other two so-called pastoral letters, 2 Timothy and Titus. Now, there's nothing inherently problematic about this suggestion, provided it's understood that this was a way in which a faithful disciple of Paul chose to convey what he understood to be Paul's authentic thoughts about church organization and government, and about what was important in the life of the communities to whom this letter is addressed. The communities around Ephesus, where Timothy was their community leader. In keeping with the practice of the time, it's possible that a disciple of Paul wrote in Paul's name to remind people that the martyred Paul was still present among them, inspiring them by his teaching and active in the life of the church. However, after 200 years of scholarly debate, there are some scholars who continue to argue that Paul is in fact the author. And as you'll see, personally, I tend to agree with them. First, nothing in what is written requires a situation significantly different in time from the period just before Paul's death. Secondly, a number of considerations favour this time rather than later in the century. The stress placed on the authority of Paul's representative indicates a less developed stage of local leadership than we find, for example, in the letters of Ignatius of Antioch, which were composed in the early years of the second century. The content of this letter, and I hope we'll see this, could have been written in the mid-60s and could have been written to Ephesus as the letter claims. If it can be established, and I don't believe it has yet, by other criteria that someone else composed the letter, well, the above considerations point to its author writing quite soon after Paul's death. Still focusing on the content, we ask a second question. Could what is said here have been said by Paul? Or does it reveal an author with different ideas, different values, different concerns? The fact that the letter to Timothy was accepted for so long as being written by Paul is itself an indication that it not only does not contradict Paul's thought, but that it has been read as being consistent with it. It has a special and limited focus and aim. It's written to a church leader, precisely in his role as pastor. It contains advice and instruction about the responsibility of Paul's representative, in this case Timothy, in his guiding of the community in living a Christian life. Ministry and ethics are central to this letter. This focus is adequate explanation for the special content and vocabulary. Some find it strange that Paul would write to an intimate co-worker in such a relatively impersonal and formal way. We should note, however, that the author clearly intends the letter to be read to the congregations. It functions as a guarantee that Paul stands behind the authority of the leader. It's written to support Timothy and as instruction for those for whom Timothy is exercising care. Ignatius of Loyola, for example, writes differently when he's sending a personal letter of encouragement to a fellow Jesuit and when he's writing a rule of life to be followed. We might assume that most of what Paul writes in this letter was already well known by Timothy after years working closely with Paul. Paul might sound as though he's instructing Timothy, but he's rather instructing the communities to expect this kind of instruction and leadership from Timothy. In his excellent introduction to the Anchor Bible Commentary on Titus, written in 1990, Jerome Quinn writes, "Titus and Timothy are models of Paul, and models for believers as they are designated to carry on the apostle's work, carry out his commands and imitate his sufferings, teach his gospel, and practice it themselves, preside at the liturgy, receive material support for their ministerial work, and choose other men who, in their turn, will share their apostolic ministry." A good summary of the content of these pastoral letters. If the content, it can be argued, is Pauline, well, what about the style? Could Paul have written in this way? The special vocabulary is not a problem. It's adequately explained by the focus and unique content of the letter. Paul's use of certain technical words that are not in his usual vocabulary can be adequately explained without having recourse to the hypothesis of another author. Scholars note the lack of many of the connecting particles that we're accustomed to find in Paul's writing. However, this too can be explained by the focus of the letter. In his other letters, which are written to communities, Paul is often arguing certain points. This is not the case here. Timothy knows why Paul is insisting on certain things. Paul's purpose is to state what is to be done in acting decisively to strengthen the communities of Ephesus against divisive ideas that are undermining the gospel. There's no need for the many particles that would have been needed in the cut and thrust of argument. Paul is laying down policy concerning government to ensure a continuance of the kind of authority that is needed when he himself is no longer around. One would expect a certain impersonality, a certain formality, a certain lack of spontaneity, as Paul expresses principles to which he's given much thought. It's unusual for Paul to put so much stress on tradition rather than on his own divine commission, it's true. Perhaps, knowing that he will not be with them much longer, for reasons of age, health, threat to his life, Paul purposely stresses tradition, which will still be there when he is gone, and which is not dependent on his personal presence. If the scholars who assign this letter to a disciple rather than to Paul, if they are correct, we mustn't forget that it was the author's intention that those reading the letter would do so as though they were listening to Paul himself. The intention was to reproduce what Paul himself would have said were he still alive. We should remember that this is how the letter was read and why it was preserved, treasured, copied and distributed. This is how it's been read down through the centuries. In it, we hear Paul's concern that Christians in the various communities, Jewish and Gentile, remain in communion by being faithful to the tradition which they've received. In it, we hear his concern that they remain in communion with other Christians by their love and by maintaining unity in the church. In it, we hear Paul's concern that they remain in communion as they hold firm to the gospel in the hope of sharing Jesus' eternal communion with God in the glory that awaits them. Since the onus is on those who deny Pauline authorship, they have the onus to establish their case. And since, in my opinion, they haven't done so, I'll be commenting on the pastoral epistles on the assumption that they were composed by Paul himself. I have no trouble hearing Paul in these writings. It's an older Paul. He would be in his 70s. It's a Paul who is very concerned that erroneous teaching, if not checked, would wreck the church. It's a Paul who loves Jesus and in whose heart the fires of a missionary still burn strongly. Perhaps the strongest call that we hear is that Christians continue the mission of proclaiming the gospel to the world. For, as he states clearly in this letter, Paul is passionately convinced that God wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. It's for this reason that he seeks to support the authority of Timothy, the leader, against false teaching that could undermine this mission. If, in fact, Paul is the author, it's necessary to accept the tradition that Paul was released from house arrest in Rome at the end of the statutory 2 years and that he returned east. Paul expressed the hope that this would happen in his letter to the Philippians, composed probably while in house arrest in Rome. And while back in the east, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy before he was again taken to Rome, imprisoned and martyred. Eusebius, writing in the opening years of the 4th century, has this to say: after defending himself, the apostle was again sent on the ministry of preaching, and coming a second time to the same city, suffered martyrdom under Nero. So we're reading a letter possibly written by Paul himself or possibly by a close disciple in Paul's name. Letter written to Timothy, the leader of the community in Ephesus, to older, mainly Gentile communities in Asia. And if Paul is the author, it's sometime in the middle of the 60s of our era.